Deuteronomy chapter number 33. I'd like to I'm going to read the first verse, but then just I want to go down and read the latter part of the chapter. Deuteronomy 33, verse number 1, just kindly sets the stage of what is happening and what is going on in this chapter. Chapter 33, verse 1 says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." Down in verse 24, the Bible says, "And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." That's reading portions of Deuteronomy chapter number 33. There are two realms of mystery that seem to trouble our hearts and our lives as a people today. It has to do with the unknown future and the uncertain present. There are things that about tomorrow that trouble our hearts and our lives. As we are about to go into a new year, there are things trouble our hearts about what is 2010 gonna hold for us. There are things, and we are just now a few days into this year, that we are uncertain about. What's the economy gonna be like? What is the war on terrorism going to be like? What is job security going to be like? What is life going to be? Does it hold sickness out there? Does it hold trouble for us out there? So the unknown future troubles our lives and our hearts. But there is the uncertainty of today that sometimes is weighing on our mind. Things that we're going through right now, things that we have carried over from last year into this year, and we wonder how they're going to work out. How are things in our life going to be resolved that we're battling and working on right now in our hearts and in our lives? for 40 years that Moses had been leading the children of Israel through the wilderness journey. They were on the verge of crossing over into Canaan land, and Moses begins to just remind them of the blessings of God for the last 40 years. But he also takes the opportunity to pronounce blessings on the various tribes of the children of Israel. And that's what he's doing in chapter 33. He talks about Reuben, and he talks about Judah, and he talks about Levi, and Gad, and Zebulun, and down the list of each one, he begins to pronounce blessings that are going to come on their lives in the coming days. You see, they were standing on the parting of ways. Things were about to change drastically for the children of Israel. They were facing a change in land. All they had known for 40 years was the way of the wilderness. And that's about to change as they're going into the land of Canaan. Not only was there a change of land, but there was going to be a change in their lives. They were going to face things they had never faced before. They were going to be walled cities. They were going to be giants and battles. And all of those things no doubt brought uncertainty into their life. They were not only facing a change of land, end of life, but they were facing a change in leadership. Moses was about to die. He was in just a short while going to go on top of Mount Pisgah and gaze into the promised land. And God was going to take him home. And they were going to have a new leader named Joshua to lead them into the land of Canaan. All of those changes no doubt created uncertainty in their mind and in their hearts. No doubt they thought, how's it going to be over there? What kind of battles will we face? What kind of enemies are we going to encounter? So God just sends some word by and gives them a promise for the day. I want to share with you this morning, by the help of God, if I can, from this passage, not just a promise for the day, but a promise for a new year. I find in these verses that he has given them some words of confidence and words of assurance for a new day, a new way, and for us, a new year. I want us to think about that for just a moment. I want to take the basis of what I'm about to share with you from those words to the tribe of Asher. He tells them in verse 24, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall shall thy strength be. Yes, Saint Preacher, that is an odd thing for us on that threshold of a new year. He is telling the tribe of Asher that they're going to be blessed with children. He tells them that they're going to be blessed with some good days, prosperous days in days to come. As a matter of fact, he issues a challenge that things among the brethren would be well. I want to tell you those are some good things to ponder for a new year. It's my desire that God give us some children, some births this year. You say, well, preacher, I think that there might be some to come. I know Grace is going to have one in just a couple of months. I'm talking spiritually today. I'm looking for some births, spiritually speaking, this year. But not only that, he talked about things being good among his brethren. Oh, that would be a great desire for the new year, that things be well among the church of God. That folk would love one another and pray for one another and pull together and not pull apart, but pull together in a new year. Oh, he talked about hidden treasures. Did you catch that in those verses? He said, and let him dip his foot in oil, and thy shoes shall be iron and brass. He is talking about hidden treasures in the new land. Some have suggested that he's talking about olive oil. How God was going to give them a lot of olive oil. But do you realize that in that land around where the tribe of Asher was, that area has become a place of oil, crude oil, in the ground. And God was seeing that. And God was saying unto Asher, there are some hidden treasures that's awaiting you in days to come. I believe he's got some hidden treasures for us. I believe there's going to be some blessings of God that come upon our lives and on our hearts. And he promised strength unto them for the days to come. But there are three things primarily that I want us to think about, and we'll be done. First of all, these verses tell us something about the process of life. It tells us that life continues on. Did you notice I read that verse 1? And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. There was a lot of things, as I said, that were changing. But life was going on. I said that to say this. There's a lot of things that changed in our lives last year. In our church family, there's things that changed in people's lives that were changed for a lifetime. They'll never be gone back and fixed again. Things have changed. Time has made a change in our lives and in our hearts. There are those that developed cancers last year, and they're carrying that burden into a new year. For those that have had heart problems last year and carrying them into a new year. There are people that have carried disabilities into a new year. But what I'm trying to say unto our hearts is that the process of life goes on, does it not? I'm not trying to be crude. I'm not trying to be cold in any way. I understand how that life changes. But life does go on. And you and I are here today as the facts of that process of life. Moses was about to die, but life was going to go on. The land of wilderness was going to be left, but life was going on. They were looking at the prospects of the days to come. The process of life continues on. We know today we're pressing on. Pressing on. I read the story about a group of men that were on a ship. Years ago, they were on a ship, and the ship was struggling in the stormy seas. And they began to look at the captain, and they said, "Are we going to make it?" And the captain said, "Well, we're taking on water. The boiler's about to blow, and we may go down. But regardless, we're still going on." I want to tell you, that's how life is. There are times we hurt. There are times that we struggle. There are times that life changes. But we're going on. We've got days to come before us. God, in His divine plan and His divine wisdom, has let us live to see another year. And let us live to see another day. And regardless, we're going on. We're facing whatever this year may bring. It's going to come our way. They were standing on the threshold of Canaan land. They didn't know what was over there. They were going on. The process of life continued on. I want to say, I don't know what next year, this year is going to bring. I don't have a clue what it's going to hold for any of us. I'll be honest with you. I went back, and I guess I always do. I went back as the year drew to a close. I went back to see what I had preached early last year. I began to think about, Lord, what all happened this year in light of what You put on my heart. Went back in the second message I preached of 2009 had to do with life's fiery trials. I never thought about the kind of fiery trials folk in our church would go through. I never thought about having two in our church family that would see loved ones die. I never thought about that. You think it could happen, but you don't want to see it happen. We didn't have a clue when 2009 began how it would wind up. But God did. God knew all about that. And here we stand on another threshold of a year. And I don't know what 2010 is going to hold. Only God does. But here we are. We're going forward. We're facing the prospect of this year. Life, the process of life continues on. Here we are, facing life, facing a new year. But not only do I think about the prospects or the process of life, these verses tell me something about the possibilities of life. The possibilities of life. Moses says unto Asher there in verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. It reminds me of what Solomon said in Proverbs 27 and 1. Solomon said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what and not what a day may bring forth. I am here to say that I don't have a clue of what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't have a clue of what 5 minutes is going to bring. I don't have a clue of what this year is going to bring to any of our hearts and any of our lives. I believe this. I will say this. I believe that there are going to be some good days out there. I do believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God has some planned good days for our lives. Days of blessing. Days of hidden treasure. Days of kindness. And days of love in our hearts and in our lives. I believe that God has some good days out there. That's awaiting you and awaiting me in this coming year. But on the other hand, I realize just as well, there's probably going to be some difficult days. That's just life. That's how life is. You know, I begin to ponder this past week about days. Days, different kinds of days. He said in that verse, as thy days. I went over into the Psalms and I began to read and research a little. You know what I found? The psalmist talked about the day of temptation. No doubt you and I are going to have some of those days this year. No doubt you and I are going to have some days that we're going to be tempted. Satan is going to come our way. Satan is going to whisper in our ear. And he's going to tell us there and maybe somebody here today, sitting right here in this service, that you're going to be tempted to cheat on your husband. Or you may be tempted to cheat on your wife. You may be tempted to take something that's not yours. You may be tempted to quit church. You may be tempted to throw in the towel and say, I'm not going to teach Sunday school anymore. You may be tempted to just say, I'm just going to drop out. Nobody seems to care about me. I'm just going to quit serving God altogether. I don't know. Somebody right here today may face that kind of a day of temptation this year. The psalmist also talked about day of battle. You say, preacher, you think we're going to face some battles this year? No doubt. No doubt you and I are going to face some battles this year. But I'm glad with battles there are victories to be won. They had days of battle in the land of Canaan. I believe you and I are going to have some days of battle. But notice also the psalmist talked about the day of trouble. The day of trouble. You say, preacher, you think that's probably going to come? Well, Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. I believe, no doubt, there's going to be some troubles come our way this year. The psalmist also talked about the day of calamity. The day of calamity. You say, preacher, what would that be? that would probably be the kind of day that you'd call the worst day of your life. You say, "Preacher, are you saying that somebody here is going to have that kind of day?" I don't know. I'm just saying that's the possibility of what the days may bring in 2010. Notice other places in the book of Proverbs. You'll find that he spoke of the day of adversity. Ecclesiastes talks about the day of prosperity and the day of death. Jeremiah even talks about the evil day. I'm just saying that there are all kinds of days that are out there. There's going to be good days. There'll be sunshine days. There'll be cloudy days. There'll be stormy days. There'll be sad days. There'll be glad days. I'm just saying that the possibility of the various kinds of days are out there in front of us. All kinds of days. But I'm glad the Lord didn't leave it there. I'm glad that the Lord didn't say, "Just simply as thy days, make it the best you can." You know what? If he wouldn't give us a promise, and that's the third thing that I'm talking about, is the promise. Not only the prospect of life and going forward, and not only the possibilities of life, but the promise for life. If God didn't give us some promises, we'd pull our hair out today. If you and I that are Christians today and know Him, if you and I didn't have the promises of God to lean on and trust Him, realizing there may be some dark days and tough days and difficult hours to come, if we didn't have the promise of God, we'd pull our hair out today. Thank God He gave them a promise. He said, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." You say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm seeing it like you're wanting us to see it." Here's what He's saying. There will be strength equal to your day. That whenever the trial comes, when the difficulty comes, whatever the day may bring, He has promised strength for that day. He said, "As 5 days, whatever kind of day it is, a dark day, a difficult day, a temptation day, a trial day, a battle day, a burden day, a delightful day, whatever the day is, as the days, so shall thy strength be." That God has strength equal to the day that you and I are going to face. I don't know about you, that encourages my heart. I don't know about you, that helps me face today and tomorrow and next week and next month and the next year to come, if God so allows it. Why? Because whatever comes my way, He has promised strength for the day. There's a promise that God gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've often looked at just simply about temptation. Paul said in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10, he said, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." And He said, "He will not allow us to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation give a way of escape, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." He's talking about temptation there, but He says the promise that God is faithful.
He will not, put something in your life without giving you what you need for that comes in your life. Now that encourages my heart. If I face temptation, God's made a way of escape. If I face the battle, God's given a way of victory. If I face a burden, God's given me strength to carry the burden. If I face the difficult trials of life, God's got grace sufficient for the day and the hour. God is faithful. Can I just tell you today that there have been a lot of people that have made promises they could not keep. As a matter of fact, we sitting right here today, we have probably made some promises that we had good intentions, but we weren't able to keep them. But could I tell you today that every promise that God makes, He's going to keep. When God says there's strength for the day, He means exactly that. That whatever day comes my way, there'll be strength for that day. Strength for that day. He is faithful. He is faithful that promised. But you notice, it wasn't Moses that was making promise, but it was God. It wasn't Moses that was saying to Asher, "Hey, I'm giving you a promise that you're going to have strength for the days that come your way." It was Moses telling them what God had promised. Notice what he says down in verse 26 and 27. He said, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky." He's talking about the Lord God of Israel. That word Jeshurun is just another word for the nation of Israel. But he talked about the God of Israel. He said, "Who rideth upon the heaven in thy help." Let me tell you what you can do this year. Let me just give you a picture. You say, "Preacher, if I do what you're going to tell us, people are going to think I'm crazy." Let me just tell you, on those difficult days, on those days, they're tough days, they're hard days, I challenge you just to take a stroll outside and gaze up around in the sky and begin to look. Why? Because he said the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help. I want to tell you, you look around in the day of trouble. You look around in the day of trial. There's a God riding around the heavens who is our help. Oh, listen, he's going to show up. He is going to be there marching down whatever trial may come. Whatever trouble may come, he is going to be there. He's the God that rides the heavens in our help. In our help. I want to tell you, he'll be there. You say, "Preacher, I go out when I'm a struggling and a hurting, I go out and just get to looking up in the sky. They'll think I've lost my mind." That's all right. You can just tell them I'm looking for God. I know he's riding around somewhere. I know he's riding somewhere. He's not far. He's going to be here and going to show up. And he's going to work. You can guarantee it. He mark it down. He rideth the heaven in thy help. And in his excellency on the sky. God is going to show up. God is going to be there. He has promised, "As the days, so shall thy strength be." But then notice verse 27. He says, "The eternal God, he is thy refuge." I want you to know that my refuge is in the eternal God. You say, "Preacher, what is Moses saying?" He's saying before time, he was God. And the time ends, he's still going to be God. And all of time's not going to change him. All that comes in between. I want to tell you, he was before he created this world. He will be when this world is gone. And he is all in between and forevermore. He is the eternal God. He's unchanging. He is sure. He is everlasting. And he said that the eternal God is thy refuge. My life may change. My things in my life may change. Things may change for you. Things may change for the church. Things may change in our homes. But there's a God in heaven who never, ever changes.
But then he said, and underneath are thy everlasting arms. And underneath, did you catch that? And underneath are the everlasting arms. I was reading that this week. They say that in that little word, underneath, he's talking about the bottom. That in that last little part, underneath, he is talking about in that word, neath, talking about the bottom. As a matter of fact, it is the word that means depressed. It's a word that talks about being humbled or beaten down. Here's the idea. Moses is saying, how far down do you feel like you've gone? How far do you feel like you've been beaten down? How low do you feel like you've gone? No doubt there's somebody that would say, preacher, I feel like I've hit bottom. I feel like I'm about as low as I can go. I feel like things have got as bad as they can get. I feel like I'm down at the bottom. I think I'd have to have a step ladder to touch the bottom. I'm so low. I feel like I'm there. I'm underneath. I'm on the bottom. But do you realize, he said, when you're on the bottom, still underneath that is the everlasting arm of God. When you feel like you can't get any lower, when you feel like you're at the bottom of it all, when you feel like you can't reach up, God is still underneath the bottom of your life. Boy, isn't that encouraging today? Isn't that a blessing today to realize when you're on the bottom, God's got his arm underneath there. When you feel like I can't reach up, God is underneath holding you up. When you say, preacher, I'm the lowest of the low, he's still underneath you there, holding you by the everlasting arm that talks about the strength and the arm of strength in God holding us up. I want to tell you, when you feel like you can't, when you feel like you're at your end, when you don't know how you can make it, underneath is the everlasting arm of God holding you, hanging on to you, that you may make it, that you may make it. Y'all listen to me. God's not going to save you. He's not going to let the blood of His Son be applied to your heart. He's not going to do all that for you and then let you just flop and flounder and just go off somewhere and die. Oh no, you're precious unto Him. He loves you. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. He loves you enough. He's going to take you to heaven one day after a while. He loves you enough that He's got His arm of strength underneath you. Boy, there's times that I felt like I was dealing with the worst thing I'd ever faced in my life. And I thought, oh God, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to make this? But underneath was that everlasting arm. Underneath was that strong arm of God holding me up, sustaining me, and getting me through whatever it was I was facing. You know what Moses said? Moses said, because of that eternal God who's our refuge, and because of that everlasting arm that's underneath me,
He said, I know that as the days, so my strength's going to be. I know that whatever the day brings to my heart, there's going to be strength for that day. Because He got His arm underneath me. He's holding me. You know what? There could be somebody right here today. That's what you're needing now. You say, preacher, that's good as a promise down the road. That's good as a promise for the future. That's good to know that when the day has come, could be a day of adversity, trouble, trial, difficulty. That's good to know that those days come. But preacher, I'm there now. I'm struggling now. I'm hurting now. I'm going through some things. You know, I carried it over to the new year. There's some burdens I had back there. And when the new year changed, it just changed the calendar. It didn't change my situation. It didn't change my problem. It didn't change my burden. It's still with me. Though I flipped the page on the calendar, it didn't flip in my heart. It's still burdened and it's still troubled. You know what? There's strength for you today. There's strength for you right now. Right now. You could bow in an altar of prayer here this morning, this first Sunday of this year. You could bow on this altar and just pour out your heart to God and say, Lord God, I feel like I'm on the bottom. I feel like I can't go any lower. I feel like I can't handle any more. I don't know. I don't know how to face all this. I don't know how to deal with all this. But Lord, I sure do need that strength the preacher talked about. He said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's not going to be your strength that gets us through. It's not going to be my strength. It ain't that I just rear back and I just say, hey, I can handle this. I'm going to get through it. Oh, no. It's when I just realize I can't do it and I just put myself in those everlasting arms of God and say, God, you're going to have to lift me up and you're going to have to help me through it. I don't know. There may be somebody here today. You're needing that kind of help today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. You're needing it today in your heart and in your life. You know what I'd do? Whenever we stand just a moment, I'd make my way to an altar and I'd say, Lord God, I need your strength today. I need your help right now. You know what's going on. You know what's going on in my heart. You know how frustrated I am, how hurt I am. God, I need that strength right now in my heart and in my life. Brother Glenn, would you get a song while they come to the instruments, and we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. That's the message. That's the message of my heart. That's the message of my heart. God knows. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're facing. There's no doubt. There's frustration and there's just wondering, God, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get through this? I've got to have your help. Just rely on His strength today. Realize underneath, when you're on the bottom, underneath are those everlasting arms of God. Holding, sustaining, going to keep you, going to keep you, going to get you through the battles, the struggles, heartaches of life. Some have already come. Let's stand to our feet. God.